Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the Ulama Profile with myself, Ubaidullah Boja. And you with us from now, inshallah, probably just after the 10 p.m. news, depending on how the program goes with the will and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Last week we were supposed to do Hafiz Ayyub Sahib Kadwa rahmatullahi alayh. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him, fill his qabr with noor, and grant him the highest of stages in Jannatul Firdaus. There was a mayit within the family, so due to that, we just postponed it for 1 week. We have on the line with us, Morana Hussain Sahib Kadwa. Morana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Morana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Inshallah, we will get Morana on the line in a few minutes. We're just waiting for Usama to give us the go-ahead. And when we do that, inshallah, we will begin. Morana, assalamu alaikum. Nevertheless, speaking about Hafiz Ayyub Sahib Kadwa rahmatullahi alayh, one of the ulama, one of these people that had done and served the deen great in the Durban area as well as in India, in Pakistan, India, etc., where Morana was doing some sterling work that was there. Morana Dawood Sahib Bawla, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him, he's always one that listens to the program, and he sends a message, and I thought perhaps we could start with Morana Dawood's message. Morana, alhamdulillah, almost every week he would send a message with regards to the program. And Morana then says, I just want to read the message of Morana. It says, Hafiz Ayyub Sahib Kadwa rahmatullahi alayh, he may not have been a qualified alim with a certificate, but was indeed a very learned person with beautiful qualities, a very soft natured and hospitable person. He was very firm on the truth. He tried to correct the wrong in a right way. He didn't fear what people had to say when he was on the truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him the highest of stages in Jannah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all the near and dear ones sabr jameel, signed by Morana. We have Morana Hussain back on the line. Morana, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Morana, jazakallah for taking out your time on a Thursday evening and sharing the life of your uncle, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for his khabar with Noor, and make it easy for yourself, the children of Morana, the grandchildren as well, and the family of Morana, inshallah.
I mean, jazakallah for those kind sentiments. Allah can accept your efforts in trying to bring upon the qualities of the awliya Allah and the friends of Allah ta'ala. Jazakallah.
Ameen, ameen. Morana, just to start off as we always do, does Morana want to give us a family background regarding our profile as Morana Ayyub Sahib rahmatullahi alayh?
Inshallah, can I begin?
Yes, Morana, you may begin.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ma'ak. Qala Allah ta'ala fi kalam al-majid. Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat lil-nas ta'muruna bil-ma'aruf wa tanhauna anil-munkar. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من رأى منكم منكرا فليغيره بيده فإن لم يستطع فبلسانه وإن لم يستطع فبقلبه وذلك أضعف الإيمان صدق الله العظيم. Respected listener of Radio Islam, it is indeed an honor and also a privilege for me to discuss the life of my beloved uncle Hazrat Hafiz Ayyub bin Ghulam Hussain Kadwa rahmatullah alayh. Hafiz Ayyub was born on the 5th of March 1946 in the small town of Port Shepstone. Alhamdulillah, he was blessed with parents that were extremely pious individuals. His grandfather was also a murid of Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi. He passed away and rose to the Maghrib Salah while having a tasbih in his hand. And this was after he was knocked over by a bus. Many a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have attested to the wilayat of Hazrat Hafiz Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, his mother, that is my daddy. Hafiz Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, he was the sixth of eight siblings, three sisters and four brothers. His elder sister and brother, that is my late father, Amarhum, Allah can fill all the qabr with Noor. Ameen.
Ameen, Morana.
Hafiz Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, he married on the 14th of July 1969. And alhamdulillah, Hafiz Sahib has been blessed with two sons who are involved in dini activity and four daughters. All of them are married. He also leaves behind 20 grandchildren and one great-grandchild. Hafiz Sahib rahmatullah alayhi did his early maktab and schooling in our small town of Port Shepstone. He was an extremely bright an intelligent child, and he was offered a shell bursary on the completion of his grade 6 schooling. However, on the advice of his father, Rahmatullah Ali, he chose to proceed to India and study Deen. Amongst his many Maktab Asatiza, one of whom in Poshef was Hafiz Abdul Khaliq Rahmatullah Ali, the son of the famous Maulana Abdul Qadir Rahmatullah Ali of Durban, who passed away in his late 90s some years ago, as well as Maulana Afriqi Rahmatullah Ali. He commenced his hymns under the Ustad and the Maulana Afriqi Rahmatullah Ali. In about 1961, at the age of around 14, Hafiz Ab left for India by the ship, the SS Karanja. He always remembered and spoke about how painful it was leaving his family at that very tender age. This journey to India was filled with loneliness and tears, according to him. He used to say that he met some family from Durban on board who always tried consoling him and comforting him throughout his journey. When he landed in India, Hafiz Ab Rahmatullah Ali was first enrolled at Taraj Madrasa, and he studied under Maulana Tarajwi Rahmatullah Ali. He did not spend very long in this madrasa, I think approximately less than a month it was. And thereafter he moved on to Randir, Jamia Husseinia. In Randir, Jamia Husseinia, he continued his hifz that he had started while in South Africa by an ustad who coincidentally also happened to be a Hafiz Ayyub Rahmatullah Ali. Hafiz Ayyub used to recollect the tough and difficult times that he experienced whilst in madrasa in Randir as well. But he used to always say that he hung in and completed his hifz there. Hafiz Ayyub himself was an extremely jayyid Hafiz who for many, many, many years performed 20 rakat salah. And he also encouraged many a Hafiz to do the same. He spent about plus minus 4 years in Randir. Hafiz Ab had a very good relationship with all his asatiza across the board, and he took a lot of dua from every one of them. However, when he used to discuss and speak about his ustad in Randir, he spoke very fondly and made special mention of his hifz ustad, that was Hafiz Ayyub Rahmatullah Ali, and his principal, Maulana Sayyid Saab Rahmatullah Ali. One of the things that Hafiz Ab used to do while he was in Randir as well, it was still his, it was the tender age studying, whenever he used to get any his monthly spending expenses, he used to save from there and make a qurbani for himself and his marhuma sister every year without fail. When he was in Randir, he mentioned that once his ustad from South Africa had come down to Randir and wanted to take Hafiz Ab to the village. Hafiz Ab was very reluctant and he was worried that this would impact on his studies. So on seeing his reluctance, the ustad told him, the South African ustad told him that I will obtain the necessary permission from your principal, and which he did so. Thereafter he took Hafiz Ab to the village to meet, etc. And when he got back, Hafiz Ab was still very concerned what would happen regarding his exams and his studies, etc. So the ustad assured him and told him, inshallah, by dua is that you will come out first. And subsequently he did come out first in that class in that year. Hafiz Ab was mentioned that while he was in Randir, Maulana Sayyid Saab Rahmatullah Ali sent him and Maulana Dawood Padi away from Stanger to spend the holidays in Jalalabad with Hafiz Ab Rahmatullah Ali. This apparently was one of his first meetings with Hafiz Ab Rahmatullah Ali. He even later on he took that for Hafiz Ab Rahmatullah Ali, that was his first sheikh, and he enjoyed a very close relationship with him throughout his life right until the demise of Hafiz Ab Rahmatullah Ali. Hafiz Ab also mentioned that Maulana Sayyid Saab Rahmatullah Ali instilled some great qualities in Hafiz Ab while he was studying there. And he basically trusted Hafiz Ab a great deal, even at a young age. But he must have seen something in Hafiz Ab that he trusted him a lot. In fact, when amanats used to come from abroad to be distributed around the madaris of Gujarat, then Hafiz Ab was entrusted with seeing to it that these amanats were sent to these madaris, and those the right recipients received it as well. So while he was in Randir, Hazrat Sayyid Saab Rahmatullah Ali gave him some advice there's many advices that were given him, but two that I can share with you is that he told him, Hafizah, make a lot of sabr and learn the method of leading a good and pure chaste life. And his dua for Hafizah rahmatullahi was that, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will take great service and khidmat of deen from you. And another very, very important advice that Hafizah Hafizah there was that don't ever sell the Quran. Many years later, when I'll just digress from here and go to Lucknow and I'll come back to this point here.
Sure, no problem.
After from around there, he proceeded to Nadwatul Ulama. And he started to pursue the Alim course from around, I think, the year 1966, around there it was, till about the year 1968-69. He studied for 3 years in Lucknow Nadwatul Ulama during the Alim course, and he completed his Arabi Saum. While he was in Lucknow, he was afforded the opportunity in the year 1967 to go for Hajj. It just so happened that my dada and daddy and my uncle from South Africa had also gone for Hajj, and he joined up with them and performed his Hajj and went back again to India as well after that. He has very extremely fond memories of Nadwa and of Hazrat Mawlana Ali rahmatullah alayh. While he was in Nadwa, he fell ill, wasn't keeping too well, and after making mashura with Hazrat rahmatullah alayh in Jalalabad, he returned back to South Africa. One of the things Hazrat rahmatullah alayh told him was that it was not necessary that you complete and become an alim. And he told him that whatever knowledge he did possess, he should remain steadfast on that knowledge and implement it throughout his life. And inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will take great faida and work from him. Coming back to that one advice that Hazrat Mawlana Sayyid rahmatullah alayh gave him, after he qualified and came back to South Africa, the small town of Potchefstroom had a need for someone to carry out the responsibilities of imam, teaching, etc. And when the locals approached my dada rahmatullah alayh to ask Hazrat to assist, my dada immediately consented. But one of the conditions that he made with Hafizah was that he was not to take any remuneration for the khidmat that he was going to be making. And my dada apparently was not affluent at that time. He basically echoed the sentiment of his ustad, not even knowing that his ustad had already given him this advice while he was there in India. Hafizah himself, we should say, for approximately around 17 years, plus minus 17 years, he served the local community, not on a full-time basis, but obviously it was on an on-and-off basis whenever the need arose for performing the salah. He looked after the musalla, nikahs were performed by him, janazas and tarawih, teaching in the maktab, etc. Whatever deen khidmat from his side that he could render, he did it, and unflinchingly he did this here. He spoke of those years with great fondness as well too, and he remembers, and he should actually say, that he single-handedly steered the ship through turbulent waters. It was not easy times in working in the community as well too. But alhamdulillah, Allah, as the advice of his ustad was to make sabr and continue, and inshallah Allah Ta'ala will take great work from him. Allah Ta'ala did take that work. Thereafter he married, and he was not going to go back to India because of his ill health. So he joined my dada rahmatullah alayh in the family business, which was famously and till today is still known as the Seed House. Later on in life, he purchased it from Dada, and he continued running it right until his demise. Well, that's basically in terms of, we want to just discuss the family background, etc. Anything you would like more on that one?
Jimon, I think we've covered quite a bit of that. There's one aspect I always want to bring to the listeners, and as Maulana was talking, is that one day we have to do a program on Maulana Saitab Rahmatullah Ali of Randir. You know, I've heard so much from my father, Imam Abu Samadaya, regarding his method of mentoring, his method of teaching, of running the madrasa, that perhaps, you know, the skill that Maulana had and the way that Maulana ran it, and the way he would be able to nurture the different people or the different students at the madrasa was something that always stood out for me, and whoever traveled with Mawlana Abu Samadaya or my father will always, in fact, whoever studied in Randir at that time, till Maulana Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was alive, would always speak about Maulana Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. So at one stage, inshallah, in the near future, I'll probably gather some information from the two of them and from some of the other graduates of Jamia Husseiniya, and we probably do that, inshallah. Maulana, I just have quite a few messages that I just want to read out, and probably from the children, the grandchildren, etc. All of them stand out. It says, the son-in-law says, a father and a friend, I had the opportunity of sharing a special bond as a nephew and a son-in-law. Hafiz Ayub Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was a great traveler. His giving nature was a heart of gold, good advices both of this world and the next, and he kept the du'as overflowing for us all. And that comes from his nephew and son-in-law, Ahmed. We have another one saying, I can remember him fit and vibrant, busy all day. Also remember getting a shot or two from him along the way. Although age recently and so many medical conditions, he remained confident, positive and well-groomed. And ever the reader, even if it meant using the sunglasses. Eloquent Quran recitation, he reminded me, Topi is our landmark, my Nana, my hero. That comes from Zakaria. Muhammad, he says, Nana was a very loving and caring person, always reminded us to be punctual on Salah and be on our best behavior. I love the smell of his itar. He was so strong, he carried me on his shoulders on Safa Marwa when I was 3 years old. That comes from Muhammad. From a little boy, I held my Nana in the highest regard. I can only remember joyous moments with him as I grew up. Nana thought of me of making doors, and I used to date that method that he taught me. Now that I'm a teenager and business-minded, he gave me golden advices on running businesses, which forever I will treasure and implement in the future. Khadija, the daughter, says, I can happily say that I had the most beautiful relationship with my papa. I was his pet and his golden girl. I can't remember him ever raising his voice at me or hitting me. He taught us how to conduct ourselves with elegance as we grew up, how he praised our amateur attempt at cooking and our oblong rotis as if it was the best meal of his life. He never stopped caring and worrying about us. Respecting our husband and children was his most concern. He always told us they are our king and the children, they are our future progeny. While we walk into our homes, a different barakah entered with him, alhamdulillah. Our upbringing is unexplainable. It's probably half of the messages that have already come in from the children and the grandchildren and the son-in-laws, etc. And we will go through a few others that we will come along. Maulana, let's just go to perhaps one of the next thing, inshallah. Maybe some of the services that Maulana offered, and this we want to speak about not as a means of showing what the person done, but as encouragement for you and I, that if one person can achieve so much with dedication. Some of the points Maulana made mention of already, serving for 17 years imamat, with not taking any sort of remuneration, but coupled with that, it's not imamat, it's the people's problems, it's nikahs, it's tanazas, it's aqiqahs, it's all of those things in one. And from there, and you know, there's so much of others. So probably, Maulana, we can just take some of the services that Maulana had done and we can forward from there, inshallah.
No, certainly, just something that I remembered while discussing what we already passed by. According to what I've been told, the first half is a local Shifton born. He was the first half is from Shifton.
SubhanAllah.
I'm also a fellow in his capability, alhamdulillah, and he always upheld the position of the Hafiz. When you're talking about the services after he studied, Hafiz was a very, very welfare-oriented person. And he always encouraged people to support welfare projects involving Dini institutes, Makatib, Madaris, water and borehole-related needs, social welfare. When it came to the plight of widows and the sick and the ailing, he also encouraged people immensely in that line. And he also initiated winter blanket projects, food distribution, and generally the general upliftment of humanity at large, not specifically just in the humanity. He was the type of a person that he was always wanting to see the good and the comfort of humanity at large, not specifically only Muslims. Many a Deen Institute locally and abroad, they used to seek the advice of Hafizat Rahmatullah Ali and counsel in their affairs. And Alhamdulillah, Hafizat did this as well through the prom. Through his encouragement, many an alim, a lot of means locally and abroad, were afforded the opportunity to perform the Hajj. Hafizat Rahmatullah Ali, one thing that he strongly disliked was the female dowry system that was prevalent in many a place. So what he did was he counseled the males to do away with this un-Islamic practice. And many people were encouraged to assist the poor brides. The way of doing this was by means of gifting them these brides. Obviously, for those that don't understand this dawah system, where when a person wants to get married to a female, then he insists that she needs to come in the nikah with certain possessions, etc. And some of the things are very exorbitant, and people used to basically think that they will never be able to get married because it was out of their reach. So Hafizat basically counseled people, and especially the males, to do with this un-Islamic practice, and encouraged others to also assist the poor brides. And the way he did this was by means of gifting them with basic necessities, and which I would basically call a starter pack for a nikah. He basically gifted them, or got people to gift a Quran for them, a beshti zara, two sets of clothing for the bride, a bed and a mattress, a duvet and one duvet and pillows, and basic necessities, utensils that a person will require in the kitchen. Regarding the widows and the sick, he had an extremely soft spot for the sick and the ailing, and especially the widows as well too. He used to make a habit of getting my aunt regularly to call the widows and inquire about their well-being. Many of these widows remembered this kind gesture of his very, very fondly. He also encouraged people to assist the widows in whichever way they could, because it was a very lonely life for them after the demise of their spouse. And many of them remember that he not only remembered them in the iddat, but even after the iddat, he used to continue wanting to find out regarding their well-being and any needs they had. Also, he also encouraged people to look after the sick by seeing to their medical needs and requirements. In fact, just the day before he passed away, just the day before he was admitted to hospital for the last time, he took my aunt to visit an elderly sick lady in our town. It was very close to our family as well too. His humanitarian efforts and concern were not only restricted to any specific creed or race or religion or nationality. It was for everybody. He was that type of a person that if the makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can benefit and can be in rahat and chain, then it will make him happy exceptionally. In terms of masajid, Hafizat Ali had a very keen interest in the upkeep of masajid in different places, locally and internationally as well too. And especially in the winter months, he motivated many a person to take care of the needs of those that were in need of blankets and warm clothing, etc. This is basically some of the things that we can maybe highlight. There's much more as we go along, possibly we can
add on. Of course,
Maulana. If Maulana needs to say anything at this point, I'll just pause.
Let's take some of the messages that was there. Some of them coming in from the son-in-law, A.S. Variava. Every situation was Quran ne barakati and taqdeer of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He never raised his voice and spoke, maintained strict parda. Simplicity was his way of life, gave sadaqah every step of the way. A humble man with no pride at all. Hawadada rahmatullahi alayhi, as young children, we fondly remember receiving champion trophies and chappies from Hafiz Dada, a man of immense wisdom and sincerity, advising and constantly showering us with du'as. We vividly remember Hafiz Dada's unique way of greeting us by placing Hafiz Dada's hands on our head and not shaking our hands. Although Hafiz Dada was our mahram, he said this was the practice of Hazrat Ji rahmatullahi alayhi to avoid the contact of the hand with the opposite gender although these were nieces or grandchildren, as Abi Sa'd rahmatullahi alayh, who just placed lovingly his hand over the hand of his granddaughters. Hafizada rahmatullahi alayhi had a great love for the sunnah, which was conspicuous in Hafizada rahmatullahi alayhi's attire, that is white kurta, his topi and his trouser. He says, and then subhanallah, itu end of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maulana Sahib said, carrying on with the program, are there some other aspects that perhaps you could bring on the fore for the greater benefit of the listeners?
There's so many things. But as I said, maybe whatever else comes to the mind and we can touch on, inshallah, we'll try as much as possible. There are certain things of regarding Hafiz Abdul Qadir, quite some things or certain things that he did say throughout his life. So I'll just mention some of those maybe for the benefit of the listeners. He should always say, never think bad of anybody. And he should say, we are bad and everybody else is good. Then another one that was, actually, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to mention this, Apna maslak chodo mat, dusro ka maslak chedo mat. Do not leave your maslak and do not interfere with others as well. So another one that comes to mind is, if a person has 98% of darkness in him and 2% of light, always look at the 2% of light that he has.
Sure.
In terms of, he was a person that was exceptionally forthright, and he stood his ground when he came to Haq, and he always called a spade by a spade, even if anybody disliked that. But for Haq, he never pulled back. It's mentioned that once he, you know, I think when he was overseas, he had to deliver some talk in one of the institutes. He started off with this line, and he said, "Hum hamare buzrugane deen ke ande muqallid hai." And he lived by that, actually. That he said that whatever I do, I will follow blindly the Ahkabi Buzurg and Deen, whatever they did, because I believe and fondly believe that they are following the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So we had no problem with that. On a lighter note, I remember many a time when he used to talk, he used to say, my gut feeling is this was like Iftakya Kanam. So we remember that as well, too. Then he used to encourage people. You know, a lot of times when you do things and you think that you have done a lot, then you should say, neki kar aur darya mein phenk. And I think we live by the sea here in Kashyap, so that was amazing.
What do you used to say, Muhammad? Just repeat that.
You should say, neki kar aur darya mein phenk.
Darya mein phenk, okay, okay.
So when you do it, don't let it be thrown away, then nobody will come to know that. So this is like basically again, truth, it's between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you have done it for Allah ta'ala, then the sea will throw it out one day and it has to come out. Allah ta'ala will throw it, will let it come to the form, and it has to come to the form. And then he used to also say, Allah kaam karwayega aur kaam humse lega. This was when he was basically told some few times maybe that he should maybe discuss his achievements, what he has done, what he hasn't done, you know, the things in life. Then he used to say, whoever wants to believe will believe, and those who don't want to believe don't have to believe. And inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will take work from us, and Allah Ta'ala will make it easy for us also too.
Subhanallah.
When anybody used to come for, and there are many like this, you know, you can write books upon amount of people that came with their problems and their needs, and whether it be in social, marital, financial, in different ways people used to come, and it was basically, you're inundated with, you know, people's problems, difficulties. I don't know if I should say this, but I just feel that in the end of the day, taqdeer is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for a person in terms of death at the prescribed time. But I think many of his illnesses and sicknesses and the burden and the voice that he had on him was the fikr of the ummah and the fikr of people's problems that he had to withstand and you know, go through. I think that ate up a lot of his life in terms of him as a person. He couldn't tolerate seeing people in that different problems. And he used to always say three things when a person came with any need and some requirement. He used to say, Allah hai, Allah se mango, Allah aapka kaam karwayega. And then in the end, he used to finish off with this, hum se koi waada nahi. So for the benefit of those that don't think, you say, Allah is there, for, remember Allah is always there. Ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and inshallah Allah ta'ala will get your work done. And he used to also then reiterate that remember that I do not promise to get anything done for you. in the end of the day, it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah alone that can get your work done. And from this we can understand that he never gave a false hope to any person. If anybody came, he generated a lot of optimism and positivity in a person, not to get down the root of pessimism and become basically suicidal and start thinking that what they left for me to in life. Is to use a lot of confidence and optimism. And is to get the person, this very important part of it, that you should get the person to turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and beg their case. Showing that Allah is the one and man can do it. We are just makhluk, we are just means if Allah ta'ala uses us to fulfill somebody's desire or wish or some problem that they are in, or constraint that they're going through. So that was basically some of the things that I can think of in terms of him in that aspect. Then we can basically go around to some of the things that were very synonymous with him throughout his life. The one was we have understood that he was not an alim in terms of completing the full alim course, but in the words of many of the akabir, he was an alim ghar. He may not have been an alim, but he was an alim ghar. He was a house of the ahlullah, the house of the ulama. He was extreme love for the muhabbat for the ulama. He was a khadim of the ulama. He used to want to serve them. He had exceptional love for the ulama and ahlullah. And his service to them was unflinching throughout his life. Another thing that stood out, you know, very glaring in his life was the immense love and passion he had for the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He just couldn't tolerate anybody going contrary to the Sunnah. And on the opposite of that, he detested bid'ah with a passion. And he used to always see that, you know, no bid'ah crept into any of the activities where he was involved in, or he saw anything, he immediately tried to stop him. Well, then in the beginning, I know if you picked out, I quoted that hadith, Man ra'a minkum munkara. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi mentioned that when whomsoever sees any wrong, evil being perpetrated, then there are three stages of a person what he should be doing. So one is that physically you try and stop the wrong, then by means of your tongue, and lastly, if you cannot do these two, then at least have some pain in your heart that what is being perpetrated is, you know, against the Sunnah, and you hope that something can change. If I can say that Hafiz basically lived up to this throughout his life. In fact, for a major portion of his life, he was that type of a Jalali person. I saw two stages of Hafiz life. One was a Jalali, where, if you can say Jalali is, you know, with that might and, you know, with that force. If anything was, they're going contrary to the Sunnah, contrary, and if he was in the gathering, or if he was in his midst, something was being perpetrated against the Sunnah, then he was that type of a person. You cannot put a lock onto that mouth. It just came out. He could not hold back. He could not tolerate anything hurting the Mubarak Zahat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he immediately spoke out, whether it be in the masjid, whether it be in the public, any gathering, wherever it was, he needed to be stood up for Haq. And then it came to the tongue. You know, latter years, as basically he got, he also was sick and he was not well, etc., then the bare minimum is to at least voice his disapproval of what was being done. And lastly, toward the end of his life, I know many a time he used to mention in private also to me, he used to find pain in certain things that have been put. He used to even mention it to me as well, too, that why don't you all as ulama sometimes you see something being done, take the courage and talk out. At the end of the day, we're going to be answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when something was perpetrated, did we stand up for Haq? So these were some of his advices at that time to us too. So one of the things that was very legendary, and I think many, many a person will attest to this, was his exceptional mehman nawazi, his hospitality. This was legendary. And this was a quality Hafiz inherited from my dada and dadi rahmatullahi, and growing up in the family. It was synonymous with the home day in Shefson, that no visitor could come by Shefson and just go without having a meal. That was how it was. And in former times, when there were no hotels or any places for guests, for refs, etc., to come through, at that time I remember many of them used to come and spend the night, have meals for days on end, they should even stay through. That was, and my daddy had this thing of She always wanted to see somebody on the dastarkhan, and she used to find, she would get agitated when a period used to pass by, no mehman is coming. She used to ask, is it some reason that we have done something wrong, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not sending mehman to our door? And how is that possible? She daily, on a daily basis, if you saw anybody in the masjid, and you immediately tried to make them direct them towards his dastarkhan for meals. He said the bare minimum we can do to her, he used to always say, you don't have to give any chanda, you don't have to do anything for a person. The bare minimum we can show akhlaq to a person that comes to our door, our hometown, to call him to home, and to give him a plate of food. That's what we can basically do for a person. His compassion and kindness and caring for the makhluk is something also too that, you know, hard to find in people, that what he had. He always wanted to receive goodness and peace and comfort for mankind in general. Another ayah that I mentioned in the beginning, Amar bin Ma'ruf Nahi Anil Munkar, outstanding also in that engage. You always counsel towards good and always at the same time forbid and stop people from committing evil and haram. And he always tried to sow the seeds of compassion, love, brotherhood, goodness, fair play, trustworthiness, all the good qualities in akhlaq, ya hamida in people. I suppose he tried to sow this on a lighter note. He was involved with the seed house, so obviously he had quite a bit of seed to sow these type of seeds of compassion, love, brotherhood, and kindness as well. He was a man of great usul and principle. He didn't like doing usuli. And it was a colleague of Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali and Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali. So when somebody came up, obviously, they used to inquire from the person regarding where he's coming from, what did he need, what does he want, and be very clear and unambiguous in whatever they have to say. And he was like that, and also when anybody came, he used to want them to say exactly what everything was without leaving anything hidden or ambiguous. He was very spendthrifty, and he spent a lot, alhamdulillah, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the same time, he disliked any, with a passion, he disliked wasting, israf, fuzuliyat. He couldn't tolerate any fuzuliyat and wasting as well. So he was a person that had the finger on the pulse, not somebody that could be easily hoodwinked or could, pull wool over his eyes. No. He should size up a person very quickly. In terms of his amanatdari and trustworthiness, I don't have words to say how amanatdar and trustworthy he was in that sense. Anything else? I can still carry on, but
I wanted to just bring up was you, Morana, and that is sometimes the wife of Morana, obviously when the Mehman Nawazi was coming and was there, she would be probably the one that would make sure that they looked after, that the meals are prepared according to their liking. And really, all the ulama and their wives and the families, really, Allah Ta'ala reward you abundantly. They know how much of khidmat they make. Our mother, my mother itself, probably Abisab's wife, and all the other ulama, Mehman comes sometimes at odd times. And then, you know, they would prepare the best of meals. They would prepare many a things just so that the mehman would be comfortable. And as Damul Barakatum says that, you know, it would be, mehman nawazi would be legendary. When I was talking to some of the other ulama in preparation, they said if you would go to Morana's house, just the amount of things and how Morana would make you feel comfortable, that alone would be something that is amazing. So there's so much that we could learn for. There's so much of Morana's life, his advices, his service, his the fact that he was so steadfast in the area of what Shepson in doing the khidmat of Deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are all lessons that we could take home with us the weekend, and we could take home with us for the rest of our lives to be able to make something out of it, you know, their lives of the elders. You know, from among the lessons that we learn from them, the fact that they have so much of system in their life, that is why they are able to do so much. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive them, forgive us, grant them the highest of stages in Jannatul Firdaus, and make it such that they are able to see the fruits of whatever they have done. Maulana, is there something perhaps we have not yet covered that you have within you that you prepared?
If you want to add on, when you're talking about my auntie, we fondly call her Bima. You know, today I was just telling the family as well, to behind every successful man is even successful woman behind him. And alhamdulillah, she has been a pillar of strength throughout his life, being there all the time. And She also requested dua for Abu Sa'ad for herself. I phoned her today to ask her to make dua and anything from her side. And she used to always, she just mentioned one thing. She said that if you anything that she asked me, she said, you know, Ma, that what she always counseled us on, always towards the Sirat and Mustaqim. That was his whole life, was Sirat and Mustaqim. And he continues reminding us. But regarding herself also, to obviously, as you mentioned, you're going to get odd times, great number of people coming, unannounced, unexpected. But Hafizab never pulled back. He never felt it below his dignity, or he never felt it difficult to even put whatever he had, Mahazar. That is how he simplified. He used to say, whatever is there, we put it on the table, and this is the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Regarding that specific point, somebody pointed out to me that Hafizab Rahmatullah Ali, when he used to be presented with any food, and if somebody told him that this was not fresh food, this may have been stale yesterday or the other day's food, etc., he extremely disliked the statement. In fact, he used to say, this is making naqadri of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ni'mat to us. Many people do not even have this much to eat, and we actually have to say that this is stale food. Do not say it like this is a bounty or ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and regard it as a ni'mat, and inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will treat our bounties to us as well. To us.
Ameen.
Yes. Then, regarding him, as I said, that he was very strict, and he was without compromise in many a matter and affair. In fact, many a marital dispute, Hafizab was involved in trying to resolve. One thing, it basically shook him up, and he used to feel very pain when the matter had to reach a point of talaq, and he used to always try and save that point. But if it had to come to that point, then he used to always try and also counsel where it should be done amicably without causing, in the future there is no animosity, etc. Regarding business matters and disputes, many a time I heard him say that if he had to charge for his consultation, today he would have been a millionaire. The amount of people that came with their disputes and problems and difficulties that they had. And he used to try and arbitrate and mediate and try and resolve somewhere or other. Another amazing point was brought to the fore was that when two parties were loggerheads with each other, there were many a time when both the parties used to come to him separately for counsel and advice, knowing full well that he was dealing with a matter from both sides, both the parties were coming. But they trusted so much of his advice and so much of his, nasiha, etc. One of the ulama, very prominent in our case, had mentioned, I'm even going to talk of the kafna, different methods, may not be in tarteeb, that sometime that he may have been, the car may have been involved in an accident as well too, and it was basically like a write-off. So immediately when Hafizab came to know about this, he phoned up and wanted to know from the respected mawar that how is he going to replace this car, and he said, no, we'll sort something out. So Hafizab was interested and said, no, you need to let me know like how you plan to be. So he said, okay, I will keep you informed. After some time, this Molana out of Tawab, he never called back. Hafizab saw to it that he phoned up and he asked him, you never told me, so how is it going to be? Then Hafizab told him, whatever happens, see that you make me a part of the contribution towards your, when you get here in your car. So Molana is very respectable and very honored person in our community. He used to say that he showed that lip service is not what merely he lived on. He put his money where his mouth was, basically. Another incident that I can remember, somebody mentioned something that I think in the early 2000s, they went for the Haramain for Hajj. And the person was, innocently, he walked in to a jewelry shop, just not wanting to even buy it. He just was having a look, browsing around. He says, after a while, the owner inquired from the person that, where are you from? So he mentioned South Africa, which place, what shops. And immediately he said this. He said, then, Hafizab Ayub, Adigari Hafizab. So he said, I know him well. The person immediately told him, take whatever you want, and don't worry about it. In South Africa, you can talk to him with Hafizab. Showing how much that he was trusted by somebody that in another place in the foreign land also talked.
Sure.
Yeah. Then, regarding family ties, also he always was very strong on that point. The general break always tried to mend family ties. In terms of his contribution also to the different institutes, he was very passionate. In fact, he was on the Shura of Darul Newcastle. Right until his demise, he was actively involved with Darul Newcastle from the time of Hazrat Mawlana Qasim Sayyid Rahmatullah Ali. In terms of his, so one association that stood out also recently was in our home village in India, Kator, Jamia Haqqaniya. Well, I'm working for Abu Rahmatullah Ali and Habitat. We're greatly instrumental in trying to revive this madrasa that had closed down many years ago. And this, alhamdulillah, this Darulum was revived again through their efforts. And he had a great figure for this in Jamia, right to the point where a few months ago he also made one suffer. That was his last effort, basically, where there were some issues that had to be sorted out. And alhamdulillah, with the South African committee, he went up there. And alhamdulillah, it resolved to a fair extent. As I mentioned, well, the two phases of his life, I remember seeing one was the Jalali part in initial, towards the end was the Jalali. Encapsulated the Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala for some time and Hazrat Umar Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala throughout another time of his life there.
Sure. Well, let's just take a break here, inshallah. We take the 10 p.m. news. Then after the news, inshallah, Morana, we just wrap up the last part of the preparation that we've made on the life of Hafizah Rahmatullah Ali.
Inshallah.
Okay. It's just going on to a minute before 10, inshallah. We just take a quick air break, which we need to do. And thereafter, inshallah, we will take the 10 p.m. news. On our return, inshallah, we just wrap up our program for this evening.
Welcome back to the Ulama Profile with myself, Ubaidullah Boja. We have with us online today, Maulana Hussein Fedwa. And we are discussing the life of Hazrat Hafiz Ayub Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayh. While now we've discussed many issues and aspects that come, perhaps we could round it up in terms of Maulana's final illnesses and obviously some of the aspects regarding to that and where Maulana is buried, and we could round up our program, inshallah, Maulana.
Inshallah. Now, if he can indulge you, just a few things that I must assure
you. Sure, Maulana, please.
Would you mind that, or is that okay?
Please carry on, Maulana.
Regarding Habisab, mentioned that the first Sheikh was Maulana Rasulullah Rahmatullah Ali. Thereafter, in the recent past, he made ta'alluq with Hazrat Maulana Qamar Zaman Damat Barakatuh. And that was his second Sheikh, from whom, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made himself that Hazrat also afforded him Khilafah. He was very instrumental also in, I think the first time that Hazrat came to South Africa, Maulana Qamar Zaman Sahib, was on the effort of Hazrat Hafiz Sahib Rahmatullah Ali and some other individuals. And alhamdulillah, we were very fortunate to, from that time onwards, to continue obtaining benefit from Hazrat Damat Barakatun. Also, Maulana Saif Rahman Sahib from Maktab, Sheikh Ladis of Madras Saulatia, also catalyst for getting him and many other ulama. But these are a few that I can remember from him getting him into South Africa. Regarding him in terms of his, toward the end of his life, he became extremely raqiq al-qalb. You know, he should hear very quickly on any, when he was to be reminded of an akhirah, and he should generally, you know, while listening to a bayan, etc., and the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or any general conversation, even at home, in private, in public, very quickly to hear and things. You know. Regarding him as well, on his demise, Hazrat Bayjan Dama Barakatum, Haji Farooq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali's son, who has now come to South Africa today, he mentioned the statement. He said, "What plenty I have mentioned here. Somebody that was extremely valuable, we have lost. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, maybe said that he made cover of the person." There's one or two things that I remember is more in lighthearted. His son-in-law used to mention that he didn't like the term son-in-law to be used. He used to always say it's either it's your son or son-in-law. Either you're a son or a son-in-law. Not son-in-law. Yeah. And he had one quality that whenever he used to make mulaqa to the person, most of the time it used to be a mu'anaqa with mulaqa to the hand. But if not that, he used to see to it that it was with two-handed, you know, with both the hands used to make mulaqa. And he used to always see to it that people also carried out that as well too. In terms of his, you know, comforting a person, giving some kind words, etc., many a time we'll find him putting his hand around the shoulder of young, old, small children as well, too, the elderly, always wanting to give a kind word, motivation, comfort, finding out about them. Things that basically we may discount as being insignificant and trivial, but it had a great impact on many of them. And today they remember those moments, those few words of advice, some nasiha, some sort of, if you found something that was incorrect, you should counsel them, tell them. And these were things that stood out for him. And another thing I found that whenever he introduced any personality or a speaker that came to our show, he used to, alhamdulillah, heap lavish praise on the person, thanking the person, etc. And he stood in the haqqada of the person being in our presence. In janazas, I remember one quality he had, and I think he following the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that remember the good of your deceased. He used to always try and remember some good qualities of the mayit. In fact, a colleague of mine mentioned that there were many a time that I had hoped that I was the mayit for the amount of praise and the good that he had mentioned regarding the mayit. So he had that quality as well too. A very, very, very senior alim in our KZN. You know, on the demise of Hazrat Rahmatullah, Hafiz Rahmatullah, he mentioned something that I think is something for us to take note of. He said that in our time, in this time here, in this zamana, to see someone from the start of his life to the right to the end of his life remaining steadfast on the tariqah of Akabir, he said something very, very rare. And alhamdulillah, he found that quality being prevalent and evident in Hafiz Rahmatullah's life. So, you know, further in the chapter of Hafiz. In terms of his private life, a little about that at home, he used to have a general ta'alim, but after that, on a one-to-one basis in the privacy of his room with my auntie and himself, they used to also, my auntie used to read from the ta'alim, the kitab, and he used to become exceptionally emotional from what I gathered, and he used to ask her to repeat some points over and over again. He used to be overcome, you know, he used to hear the hadith and the Quran, the ayat and the bismillah in different aspects, etc. So basically these are some of the other things that we found that he had. In terms of many a person benefited from him in terms of being encouraged to continue to pursue his study alim course. I myself, for one, was greatly responsible for encouraging me, my parents, my father, rahmatullahi, and my mother, encouraging them to send me to study locally as well as abroad later on also too. Allah Ta'ala make it a means of zariya, ifad al-sawaf for him also too. Many other persons will attest to that as well too. Just one, I remember, as I said, there's just like sprinkling or like scattered things that calls that are coming to mind. Once when he used to mention this with one of the that once a person came to Pochevstan, and in those times there was no place of to eat, etc., that you used to get a restaurant. So the person asked him, can you direct me to a halal establishment? So for a moment thought and immediately sat in his car, he said, just follow me, I'll direct you. And he drove him direct to his home, and the person said, but you don't know. He said, I asked you to show me, I wanted the halal. So he said, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed me with the halal food and whatever is in my dasar khan, you enjoy. The person was really affected by the gesture of Abu Sa'd rahmatullahi as well too. And when you're talking about in terms of his, towards the end of his life, then it was towards the end of November, actually, towards the end of September. I'll just give you that exact thing. On the 29th of September, it was a Saturday. I think on the day before, it was a Friday, and that night and that Saturday morning, we experienced some chest pains and we were not feeling too well. So the doctor advised that they would get to the hospital immediately, so they took him from there to Durban. But alhamdulillah, he was able to walk in, talking, etc., and he went. And he was admitted into hospital. Subsequently, from that Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, many people went to even visit him. He spoke to them and he even said, alhamdulillah, inshallah, I will be getting discharged and I'll be getting, I'll keep wanting to get home very soon. But on the 3rd of October, that was it, Wednesday, he took a turn for the worst, and from that point onwards, it was all down. He did not recover from that. Basically, from Saturday to two Saturdays later, on the 13th of October, it was the 3rd of Safar, at around 3:21 in the morning, because at the time of Tajud, that
as we are speaking about the life of Hafiz Yusuf Qudwa rahmatullahi alayhi, in the last portion of his life, whereby he went into the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how Allah ta'ala had taken him into his mercy from serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the people around him for so many years, and how Allah ta'ala had used him for the service of deen and made him special in so many different ways. Allah ta'ala had taken so much of work from him, one of the elder and seniors of our time. Really, may Allah ta'ala make it easy for us and all those that knew him, inshallah. Now we're not going to burden you anymore. We know it's difficult. probably just give us the last portion of our Hazrat's life and then we can see from there, inshallah.
According to those that are present close by, he said he had a slight sweat on the forehead and a bit of a frown. And from the hadith we get also too that this is also one form of a shahada. One thing that stood out while he was in hospital that I can mention, you know, throughout the time that we saw him and even everybody that went there, he always was very conscious of having his topi on his head. And that was, I know Mahadabi Rahmatullah, and he was towards the latter part of his life in the last few days, he was extremely vigilant and wanting for his topi to be always on his head. He went to the point of his head where the nurses, in fact, they became so used to it, they used to see to it that his topi was always on his head, the five Ali Jalalabadi topi that he used to wear. And that is how, alhamdulillah, he passed on. In terms of him being the janazah was performed at Masjid al-Nur, Azimullah, Masjid Melanchthon Road, and that was held on this morning at 10 o'clock. Azimullah Usman Kadwasa from Amzin to perform the janazah namaz. And it was a day that initially it was raining quite a bit, but at the time of the janazah, etc., things did totally stop. At the Qabristan, I remember something very vividly, and I thought I'd make mention of that. Just at the time when we were lowering his body into the qabr, it was an extremely gentle rain. I couldn't even call it. It was like a refreshing sort of some droplet that fell. And I just attributed to some the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a good sign, a good omen for generally in this type of conditions. Even though we do not, dreams are not hujjat, I'd just like to mention one. There are quite a few people that would have seen him and have seen him in dreams, etc. But there's one that I just felt I mentioned with your permission, Marana.
Ji, Marana, please.
Ji. When the person, somebody very close to Hazrat saw him in a dream and then he just inquired, Mamla kaisa raha, how did you feel, how was it? Was it? So Hazrat just mentioned this much, Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala ne mere saath bahut acha mamla kiya. Pareshan, hal, aur ulama ki dua mere liye hujjat ban gayi.
Allah.
Pareshan hal ho, ulama ki dua mere liye hujjat ban gayi, aur Allah Ta'ala ne mere saath bahut acha mamla kiya. For those that don't understand, that he mentioned that those that were in difficulty and problems, the dua of them and the ulama became a proof for me that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has treated me in exceptionally good circumstances and he afforded me very good conditions, alhamdulillah. And we hope, inshallah, that this be the case and Allah ta'ala expands his qadr, granted to be from the gardens of Jannah and all the others in the family and around the world, all the mu'minin that have passed on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bless them with the highest stages in this world, qadr and akhirah. And by the time we have to leave this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us leave with iman in a manner that is befitting, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy to meet us and he is happy to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And lastly, Mawlana, I'd like to profusely thank you. Many a time it was a hidden thing that I had in me that I should always make dua for you and say that, you know, what an exceptional and stirring job you're doing, not knowing one day you're going to catch me to come on. And I don't say this out of all this, but I was not somebody that could have carried out the haq of fulfilling the right of my uncle talking about Sheikh Mahasin. I was basically instructed, I was actually encouraged to a great extent to come on. I did not want to, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such, and I just made this niyad, oh Allah, whatever is being said, make it a means of zari and najat for all of us, and make it a means of every one of us taking some lesson for our life that's left for us, and those marhumi that are passed on, especially Hafizat, make it a isha'a salah for him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take you station on this program from strength to strength. And one thing, let us appreciate and value and treasure those Ahlullah and Akabir that are still living and we now met, not to remember them after they're gone, when we say it's too late, we could have done something for them. Not something for them, actually, something for ourselves, where we can take immense benefit and goodness from their lives while they're living. And once they're gone, inshallah, we will also remember them also too.
Well, I mean, JazakAllah so much for your time, Morana. And really, our condolences go to Morana's family, his children as well, and all of those people that knew Morana And really, we are grateful for Morana Kadwa, the son Hafisa of Morana as well. Allah Ta'ala make it such that each one of them, Allah Ta'ala grant them a ni'mal badal, Allah Ta'ala make it such that from amongst you grows many of those people that have the sterling qualities of your grandfather. And may Allah Ta'ala make it such all those ulama from amongst us that are still alive, that are still here. Allah Ta'ala make it such that we are able to benefit from them, and we are able to be part and parcel of serving them and taking from their spirituality, their knowledge and their experience. I'm grateful also to Osama, who's accommodated us a bit extra. May Allah Ta'ala bless you, Osama, and your family. And from all of us at Radio Islam International, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.